Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 249, recorded on April 9th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It just wouldn't be a complete week without getting to sit here with you.
Yeah, and it's Thursday. We usually do this on Friday, but I'm going out of town tomorrow, so.
Oh, me wait, too. This is Thursday.
It is. It totally feels like Friday.
It totally feels like Friday.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be a lot more tired, or a lot tireder.
Tighter.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's virtual Friday, though, because it really is Friday for all of us.
Might as well be. Adam Christensen from the MacCast.
Yeah. I mean, really, because we've got to stay up until 1 minute, you know,
at least
into Friday morning.
Let's hope
today.
It doesn't iPhone out like we did for the
it's
iPhone
totally
6.
Going to.
That thing,
it's gonna be,
wasn't
it's
it like 2
night.
In the morning or something when by the time people were like actually getting into the store?
Yeah. It took me, I think, 2 hours from the time that that sales started on the iPhone 6 to the point where I was pretty sure I had bought a phone.
You got in quick.
Yeah, we should probably save this for when we get to that part of the show.
No, right? we're gonna
talk about this.
We'll just talk about that now. We're talking about it now. We'll talk about it. So of course the pre-orders. It would have been nice to do the show tomorrow because then we all presumably would have been able to go in and have
share
a look at the
our
watch.
Horrific experience.
Well, yeah,
we can do that now. Let's pretend.
Yeah, let's pretend. Oh, it was terrible.
It was ridiculous.
I couldn't get in. I ended up not getting the watch that I wanted. I had to go with my second choice because the first choice was sold out by the time the site came up.
You get the pink one with permanent Hello Kitty on it?
Yeah.
I thought that was your first choice.
It's like, well, why can't Apple? Every year this happens. They can't handle it.
This is kind of mean.
Go.
We can't.
That's tomorrow.
I didn't
show.
Get any sleep.
Yeah.
I was trying to order across 4 different devices, hoping one of them would connect.
Yeah. So, okay. So
I may have bought 2 watches. I don't know.
Let's hope so. So let's talk about the best way to do this. I think with previous experiences, it seems like the Apple
app.
Store app
yes.
is probably going to be the way to go, especially considering you've got your Touch ID. You can basically say, I want this one, touch your thumb to it, and you're done.
Do the Apple Pay thing.
Now, my big question is, I would prefer to have it sent to the store.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to wait around all day, because you know FedEx isn't going to leave it. It would be nice to just go down the hill to the Apple store and pick it up when I want.
You should be able to do in-store pickup.
Is there going to be any difference in availability if I tell them I want that?
Well, I don't think so.
No. Okay. So if you say I want in-store pickup, what they do instead of shipping your watch to your house is they ship it to the Apple store, mm-hmm. and then it gets tagged with your name. And so when you go in, your watch is there.
Yeah.
And you've already paid for it. So it's not like they're going to say, Michael didn't show up in time.
Right.
And then they give away your watch to someone else because you've already been charged and you've paid for it.
Although, and it hasn't been clear if they're, I mean, it's seeming like they're not even going to allow like in-store pickup in like the UK and possibly not in Germany. Still unclear on the US. I don't know if we're guaranteed to even be allowed in-store pickup or not.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that is clear is that you will not be able to, will you be able to go walk to the store on launch
and buy
day
it?
And say, I want to buy one?
No, Apple has officially said you need to order online, and that's what they will tell customers who walk in.
So you can order on the 24th on your phone, and then maybe if you like slip the app a hundo, it'll let you get one on that day, but you're probably not going to get one that day.
You're not going to get one that day. Apple has already said supplies are going to be extremely constrained just based on what they've been seeing from people favoriting stuff in the...
Yeah, if you want to have an Apple Watch on April 24th, you have to pre-order. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Okay. But
you're probably going to have to pre-order tonight at mid 12:01 Pacific time.
Yeah.
You're going to have like a 2-hour window.
Yeah, and that's what the plan is. I'm going to go on there, go on the app and have my computer as a backup, but I think the app is going to be the quickest cuz you got your favorites and Touch ID and all that stuff. So I think that will probably be the easiest experience. Yep.
The other thing I'm telling people is on the Touch ID, make sure if you've got more than one credit card that you're set to the right default card.
Yeah, that's important.
On the Apple Pay.
Yeah, I think, let me make sure it's even, yeah, I got my card.
Because I normally use a different card than my business card, but my business card is in there and I want to make sure I use my business card for that watch purchase so it goes against my, my business account.
Does it not allow you to select when you do it?
You could select, but then that's an extra tap, man.
You're right.
You're wasting time.
Wasted taps is wasted time. So, and then you can see your favorites for if you click on the account button in the app and go to favorites.
Yep.
So, do we know how the try-on thing is going to work? How to sign up for that? Where do we go?
We don't know how to sign up for that yet.
Okay, it's not clear yet.
My guess is that it'll be an in-app thing or a website thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, probably through the App Store app. Probably just like scheduling a Genius Bar appointment. That's probably a similar type experience, I would imagine.
Yeah. So, but it seems like there probably aren't going to be any lines at the Apple Store.
And I think that's the way Angela wants it.
Yeah.
I think there'll be lines, but there'll be lines that are kind of transient because you get people that show up that don't know they aren't supposed to show up. And then Apple employees will have to say, no, you have to leave.
You have to leave.
And they'll be like,
I
don't understand.
I want to watch. And they'll say, there aren't any. Go away.
Yeah, of course, there's a lot of people that I have encountered that are really into their Apple gear, and they had no idea that Apple Watch is coming out at the end of the month. They're like, oh, I thought it was out already, or I thought that was later this year. They were really surprised.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if on the 23rd or even a couple days before, if we start hearing about people trying to line up at Apple stores. I bet you we will.
Ugh. I hate that. But it's nice because it's clear that they're respecting people's time. And that's very nice of them.
I think they just don't want angry customers at the store.
Well, I mean,
I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah, that's probably some of it. But there's also the positive aspect, which is look at the lines at the Apple store. There must be something cool there.
Yeah, they're not considering that to be really valuable anymore.
Yeah, I guess not.
From a marketing thing. I mean, and they to be honest, it kind of runs both ways, right? Because it does show that there's demand for some hot new product, but at the same time, it's also the butt of many a joke on, you know, late night television.
Right, yeah.
And commercials. Samsung.
So
those
now,
days are over, right? Isn't that what she wrote in her memo?
That is what she said. Yeah. Now, as far as Apple Watch reservations, so it says Apple Watch reservations for in-store pickup will be limited to one per customer through the reserve and pickup service.
Yes. So that makes it sound like what we were talking about earlier, that we will have some sort of option to do in-store pickup.
Right, yeah. So inventory is subject to change. Your reservation is valid for pickup only at the Apple retail store you selected. If you do not pick up your selected items by the designated date and time, your reservation will be canceled and your item will be returned to stock. There's a maximum of one reservation per customer. Number of reservations may be limited.
See, this makes it also sound like it's going to be just like your Genius Bar appointment. I think what they're doing is they're scheduling your pickups at a specific date and time. I think you're going to have to be like, I'll pick it up, you know, in this window.
Yeah, they're going to say it's, you know, you have to go there at 3:15, and I'll say no, but I have a podcast, and they'll say
not today.
Not today.
Yeah, and because that's what I had heard I think actually did the Mac Observer wrote this up. I think Dave wrote this up at the Mac Observer, that once they will start allowing people to sort of pick up or buy in store, like do the try on, that they were going to be scheduling two appointments when you scheduled your try-on appointment for 15-minute windows each, where they do a try-on appointment that lasts 15 minutes, and then immediately after it, seamlessly, they wouldn't even really let you know. They'd schedule like a buying appointment, which is sort of like the pickup. Because I think there's going to be a pickup experience where you go in, they, you know, they bring out the box, they show it to you if you want, you know, unwrap it, activate it, attach it to your phone, show you how to use a couple things, and then you're like out of there. I think they're trying to create some sort of experience is my assumption.
That's my assumption as well.
So the pickup appointments are probably going to be set in 15-minute intervals, and you have that window. And if you don't show up, guess what? That's going to be sucky for people who get stuck in traffic or don't plan ahead.
Yeah, that'll be really bad. Because then they're just kind of screwed. That's it.
Yeah, so where am I looking? I guess
so maybe you don't want in-store pickup. Maybe it's better to wait around for the FedEx guy.
Well, if you're doing in-store pickup and you've already bought your watch, unless they're holding it and making you pay for it when you come in, which is not how it's worked with the iPhone.
Right.
That they're not going to get rid of your watch because you bought it.
Yeah. Now
Well, you don't think they'll just refund, you know,
Refund your money and
be like, look, you didn't make it for your pickup appointment. We put it back into inventory.
That would be the shittiest thing ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But doesn't that sound like what they're saying in this memo or in this thing that we're hearing? If you don't show up for your appointment, read that again, Michael, because that's how I was interpreting it. It was like, if you pre-order with the in-store pickup and you do not show up for your pickup appointment, we will, you know, put it back into general inventory and sell it to someone.
Yeah, if you do not pick up your selected item by the designated date and time, your reservation will be canceled and your items will be returned to stock. But that doesn't...
Well, that's reservation. That's not purchase.
Right. So it's talking about the reserve and pickup service.
Reserve and pickup, right? Pickup.
So there is a maximum of one reservation per customer.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I think reserve and pickup is a single thing, not reserve or pickup. It's reserve right. and pickup. So
oh, I see
if,
what you're
if you've
saying.
Purchased,
I get, I got you.
Yeah. So if you so purchase, yeah.
I'm with you now. So this is when they finally do are just like selling them and they have them in store. I don't know. So you're thinking you'll be able to go online, reserve one, but not pay for it and then pick it up?
Ugh, I don't know.
Not initially.
This is really a...
Yeah, it's often very confusing.
This is really messed up right now. And the thing is, my guess is that tonight, well, early tomorrow morning, when we are placing orders, we're still going to have confusion about what's happening with our watches.
This is not going to be understood until the 24th when they're actually, you know, supposedly available at the Apple Store.
Right.
I really think my impression is that reserve and pickup is the in-store pickup of your online purchased device. That makes the most sense to me. I could be totally wrong, but my interpretation when I read this story or this information was, look, if you're going to opt for in-store pickup, you're going to buy it online, you're going to pay for it, you're going to go in to pick it up at your appointment. If you do not show up, and you're not there, we are going to put it back in an inventory, refund your money, and then we have it available to sell to someone else.
Can you imagine the horrible reports that'll be in the news? If people are buying watches on the 10th and they show up on the 24th, only to find their money's been refunded and they don't have their watch.
Because they missed their scheduled appointment?
Yeah, people will flip out.
Yeah.
There's going to be cars driving through stores. There's going to be Molotov cocktails thrown at the doors. I mean, it will be chaos and pandemonium.
I hope I hope I'm totally wrong, but that was my interpretation of it.
Okay. I'm hoping you're totally wrong as well, because that's seriously messed up if you're right. But as you continue talking, I'm getting more and more worried that you are right.
Well, and they don't say what that window is. So it might not be like you missed your appointment and we're going to return it to stock, you know, right then and there. It could be
like at the end of the day, right, if you haven't picked up your watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because they're not really specifying what that thing is, that window is. I mean, they could even do 48, 72 hours. Who knows? But I think the point is if you don't show up to pick it up at a certain point, they are going to just turn around and put it back into inventory.
Okay, so I'm poking around while you guys are talking about this stuff. So I'm poking around in the Apple Store. And so I first looked at an Apple TV. I just said, hey, add one to my cart and hit Apple Pay. And then it says, okay, here are your two options. One, ship to me, available to ship, within 1 to 3 business days, delivers within 5 days after shipping by standard shipping. And then there's the pick it up in store. And it says that it's available today. Then I tried a customized, MacBook Pro. And there's the pickup in store option, which says ships to store available April 21st at Apple Store, Higuera Street. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that I would be cautious. Unless you see when you check the little box for pickup in store, look at those shipping estimates. If it says ship to me will be delivered by April 24th and the store says April 24th, cool. If it says the store is going to be later and you're shipping to me, it's going to be earlier, wait for the UPS guy. Hopefully it will specify in both occasions. Granted, this is not with the Apple Watch.
I think I'm just going to opt.
But
I'm going to opt for the wait for the UPS guy.
Wait for UPS guy.
You know, I was planning on having mine delivered to the store, but now I'm kind of worried and thinking maybe I should do the UPS thing.
Well, don't you think if it says though will be available at the store on the 24th, don't you think they kind of you're like entering into a contract on that?
Yeah, that you're going to be fine there. But I mean, why even deal with the store?
Because you have no idea when the frickin' UPS guy is going to show up, and my guy likes to like scamper up to the door very silently, tap on it like once and then run away and pretend he never showed up.
Well, for me, it's,
you know, I guess
the last time that he came by, it was like he knocked on the door, and I do not have a large apartment, and we came immediately to the door and he was like running away when we opened the door.
Well, then he was probably pissed off because he had to come back.
They
gotta go quick.
Yeah.
They do have a quota. Yeah, for me, delivery to the store is more convenient because I actually use a mail drop box. Right. And the Apple Store is a lot closer to me than my mail drop box.
Yeah.
I could ride my bike over to the Apple Store if you want to do that. I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm just going to opt to have it shipped.
I think that's what I'm going to do. What if, well, let's see, on the 24th, maybe you won't have one. Maybe I won't have one. It'll be a fun game. It'll be called Who Was the Bigger
Idiot?
Who
got the Apple Watch?
Who was dumber when they placed their order?
You know, I think it's really who's going to get lucky and their order goes through in time.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to this one per customer thing, though. This is all about avoiding the scalping.
Yeah, what the hell is that about? Does that mean that you can't order one for your wife now? Or what's the deal? You just can't?
She has to order her own and she has to go in and pick it up on her own.
Well, that's
because they're going to ID picking it up.
They ID.
But that's for reservations. What about shipping to your house?
For shipping to your house, I bet if you had two people place an order to ship to the same house, you'd be fine.
I think you can probably order more than one online. That's what I was reading, is that like the online wasn't really going to be restricted. But it's more or less restricted by the I don't know. Would it be restricted by credit card, by address?
Ugh, I don't know.
I don't think.
Let's just wait until tomorrow. Well, wait until next week, and we'll have another discussion after.
I want you to try and order 10 of them to be shipped to you.
That's a funny joke.
See what happens.
No, you try. You've got the web design empire. So what else do we have here? So employees are going to get 50% off their Apple Watch, the Sport and the Apple Watch models, which is very nice. $550 off the Gold model. If you work at an Apple store and you're buying a solid gold watch.
If you work at an Apple store and you buy a gold model, you don't tell anyone because your coworkers will wait in the parking lot and beat you up.
I want to know, is that the same discount that Johnny and all the execs get? They get $550 off?
No, he just waits at the end of the line and waits for the machine to poop one out for him, to birth it for him.
Because those are the only guys at Apple that can afford the thing, right?
That's true, yeah.
Right.
Maybe some of the higher level software engineers, I guess, if they wanted to spend that much money, but my guess is they don't.
Yeah, Bertrand is probably going to get one. I know he doesn't work there anymore. I would just wish he did. Who took over for Bertrand? Not that it's
Was that Forstall?
It might have been. No. Yeah. No, I don't think it was Forstall. I think it's the other Hair Force One guy.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I forgot to mention the fact that this show is sponsored by Smile with PDF Pen Scan Plus. We'll talk about that later. And NatureBox. If you go to naturebox.com/tyos, you'll get a free trial box of delicious snacks. And you know what? We're going to just talk about NatureBox right now. Because you know you're going to snack, and when you do, you want it to be worth it. And this is part of their copy, right? But it's so true, right? When you're hungry, you want a little snack, you're not going to eat a meal, you want a snack, but you don't want it to just be like, eh, that was okay, it sort of satisfied my craving for something, or it was like full of a bunch of junk, like you're eating Doritos or some high fructose corn syrup crap. So you want, going back to the read, something that is tasty and satisfying, but doesn't make you feel guilty afterwards. And what you need is snacks from NatureBox. These guys are awesome. You can choose from over 100 healthy and crave-worthy options to be delivered right to your door. It's totally cool. All their snacks are made with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, and 0 grams of trans fat and no high fructose corn syrup. It's like the delicious treats that you would make at home, but you don't have time to make, right? They taste awesome, and they're so much better for you than the snack options that are out there. So next time you're hungry, grab they say jalapeno white cheddar popcorn, pistachio power clusters, and Big Island pineapple. The really cool thing about the Big Island pineapple, so it's like a dried fruit. Most of the pineapple that you find out there, for some reason, they add sugar to pineapple. I don't understand why, because pineapple's like one of the sugariest fruits out there already. It's a no-sugar added pineapple, which is really cool. So they sent me some snacks last month, and they did not last long, let me tell you. They were awesome. Peanut butter nom noms. Highly, highly recommended. We also got the cinnamon spiced almonds. Those were very, very lightly sweetened, but like the perfect delicious taste. And it was like fully guilt-free snack because it like satisfied that nice sugary flavor. But because of the cinnamon, it didn't have to be overly sweet. And you get the almonds, so it's healthy. We also got the toasted cheddar sticks. These are sesame sticks that have a cheddar flavor added to them. They're awesome. We also got the dark chocolate pretzel pops. Those were delicious. I like dark cheddar. I guess I do like dark cheddar too. I like dark chocolate and I like pretzels and then when you put those together, you get the sweet and the savory, and it was magic. And also the cashew power clusters, we got those as well. And yeah, they're great. So if you want some snacks, you should get it from NatureBox. You get a free trial box. Go to NatureBox. It's totally free. You pay $2 for shipping. Use coupon code TYOS, or rather you go to naturebox.com/TYOS, and they'll hook you up with some delicious snacks. And I believe that comes with it's a sampler pack of one of their favorite snacks with the Parmesan garlic pop pops, garden tomato crunchies, jalapeno cashews, cranberry medley, and a surprise big bag for you. So check that out. It is delicious. So what do we got here? Oh, so Yosemite 10.10.3 was released with photos, with the Photos app for OS 10, extra emoji. Somehow you can, is the Vulcan salute in there?
Yes, it is.
But you can't see it directly. Kelly Gaumont wrote a really great article for Mac Observer explaining how to get the Vulcan salute emoji.
Interesting. See, it's not just available. You have to do some noodling around.
Yeah. Well, the easy way to do it is go to that article
and copy it,
and then copy it out. Okay. I mean, seriously, that's the way to do it.
I don't see it
because
it's not in there. Well,
so you have to be running on your Mac OS 10 10.10.3 or on your iPhone or iPad iOS 8.3. Otherwise, you're going to see a little alien face instead of the Vulcan salute.
I'm seeing little question marks. I don't even see the alien face.
Then you haven't updated.
I'm on 10.10.3, dog. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's working for me.
Maybe let me try it on my phone.
Tell you what, how about if I send you a...
yeah, do that. Send me some...
Wait, so it's supported. It's not actually part of the new emoji set then?
It's part of the new emoji set, but Apple has chosen to not display it.
Huh.
Are there other emojis that are part of the new emoji set that Apple is not displaying?
Probably.
Well, that's messed up.
It is messed up.
So then once you find it, you should do the little shortcut trick.
Oh yeah, I'll throw this article into the show notes so you can see how to do like keyboard shortcut and all that stuff to so you can salute people Vulcan wise whenever you need to. Bug fixes in 10.10.3 as well, but the big news is that, well, there's also iTunes 12.1.2, which has support for the Photos app, so syncing photos to your iDevices. That's cool. Big news is iOS 8.3 has also been released to hey, look at that. Live long and prosper.
Just like that.
It works. So there are tons of bug fixes in 8.3. Lots and lots. This is like the 8.1 version almost, but like two versions late.
And there's new bugs too. Yay.
Oh, sweet. Hooray. Yeah, there are new bugs. We'll talk about that. But there, so you get all the new emoji, the infinite scrolling list. So you don't have to like pick a category and try and figure out where your where the emojis are. So you can just scroll through. That's really nice. You get the multicultural. Is that, I guess they're multicultural emojis that you can pick from.
I want to know, where's the diversified smiling poo?
Yeah.
I was so disappointed.
What would you do with him?
Well, you can have chunky and runny and...
Yeah. And maybe just... No, no.
Green.
It's not. Come on.
Berry-filled.
Berry-filled. Corn.
Sorry. I had to go there.
Sorry. It's not my fault.
The Fiesta version.
Anyway, there's also we talked about the always require or require after 15 minutes or no, that's not it. The password for free downloads, require or not, you can change that. But the bug fixes are numerous. There's also this space bar thing that they've changed that I guess was a problem for a lot of people. I never had an issue where typing a Google search string kind of thing in Safari, the space bar wasn't big enough, and so people were typing periods.
Hmm.
They've tweaked that.
Oh, I had that problem. I am so happy they fixed that.
Okay, cool.
Super annoying. Because the space bar was like only about double the size in portrait mode of like the period.
Gotcha.
Or any other key. And so you had to like be way over off to the left hand side to type a space.
Oh.
I feel like I've probably experienced it, but I just don't Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, now I'm looking at it. And if you have your little microphone enabled, then
yes,
that key is real small. That's true. Yeah, because I'm still on 8.2. Buttloads of other fixes.
That, like trying to type URLs, and I'd be it, or even typing in different areas, and I'd be putting periods instead of spaces.
It's nice.
Terrible.
Well, they fixed it. So they've got improved performance, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth fixes, orientation and rotation fixes, messages fixes, family sharing, CarPlay, enterprise fixes, accessibility fixes. One of the things in there was they added the new speak screen thing where you could just flick down with two fingers and it would read the screen for you, which is really great because it would automatically, if you like did it in an iBook, it would just read the book to you. And you could download the Alex voice and presumably have him read the book to you, but it never worked. It always crashed and freezed up, and they finally made it work. So that's really cool. So if you got like, I think it's really good for contracts and that sort of thing, especially the stuff that would make you real sleepy right away. If you tried to read it, you can have Alex read it to you and maybe you'll get through it. Tons of other bug fixes. So, but as you mentioned, new bugs, right? So there's yep. People are saying that Touch ID is not working in the App Store for some of them. So Touch ID is working. It's just not working in the App Store for some people.
Yeah, I don't get why. It's weird. I don't know if I haven't tried buying anything yet, so I haven't confirmed if I'm suffering from that or not.
Yeah, I have not updated.
No, it just in the App Store?
Yes, just in the App Store. So you'd have to try downloading something.
And have Touch ID enabled for purchases.
Yes.
Which not everybody does.
Yes. iOS 8.3 also enables Wi-Fi calling for Sprint and EE subscribers. So it's Sprint and T-Mobile now in the U.S. that can do that.
So yeah, nice. Thanks AT&T and Verizon for being right on top of that.
For being real cool. There's this giant dead spot in San Luis Obispo where it's like LTE, but if you try being on LTE, it's just your phone's not going to do anything. And it's a huge area. It's like half of San Luis Obispo. Just LTE doesn't work. I don't understand how people who live over there do anything. But AT&T is just keeping it real.
Apparently, Wi-Fi calling was also enabled with the update for EE customers in
yes, that's right.
UK,
so in the UK.
Yep.
And that's a big deal for them. I guess they've been waiting for a while.
Well, good. I'm glad they got it. And okay, so back to the Apple. Well, we'll get back to the Apple Watch in a second. We got to talk about our second sponsor, right? We're going to talk about all the reviews that came out for the Apple Watch, all the various opinions. Before we do that, we're talking PDF Pen Scan Plus by Smile Software. So you check them out, smilesoftware.com, right? Smiles? Yep, cool. Smilesoftware.com. Check out PDF Pen Scan Plus, and it gives you scanning and OCR power in a beautifully designed app that's always with you. So I really like the way that Dave Hamilton described it on the last Geek Gab, where it's like, you know how the spy... you see a spy movie, he goes into the sneaks into the office and he's got to get the information, and he takes pictures of the documents, right? And because he doesn't want to take them with him, but he needs to get the information. And it's too bad James Bond didn't have this, because then he wouldn't have to send it off to Moneypenny and have her like type it out, right? Because she would probably do that, I assume. I can't think of anybody
Moneypenny will do anything because she's that good.
Yes, yeah. And so she would normally have to type this crap out, but, you know, if he had PDF Pen Scan, it would just OCR it for you. And the cool thing, so getting back to, like, reality here, there's a new version 2.0, and so, of course, you the deal with this thing is you take a photo of a document, it's scans the entire thing for text, and then it will automatically upload to Dropbox or iCloud, and it's just nice because you can take pictures of receipts or documents, what have you. Maybe, again, if you are given a contract that you have to read, and you're like, oh, I don't have to, I really need to read through this, but I'm going to fall asleep if I have to read this dang contract. Well, you just take a picture, flip, take another picture, flip. And then when you're done, you just copy out all the text because it's OCR'd. And then you just have your phone with the brand new accessibility features that finally work. Have your phone read it to you. Or you can do whatever else you want with the text. And with 2.0, this has gotten so freaking easy. I'm really glad they're sponsoring again because I have not looked at it since they updated it. And man, it's cool. So you just, all you got to do is before you took a picture and it was like, oh, okay, do you want to like select all the different edges of the page and auto skew it and try and make it look good? And you'd have to actually press the button and this and that. Now all you do is you just take your document, put it down on the table, hit the little camera deal, and hover it over the document, and it says, looking for document. And it automatically, when it's like, okay, this looks good, it looks like it's in focus, I can understand where the edges of the pages are, it automatically takes the picture, figures out all the edges, and boom, so you're done. So you don't even have to touch it. You just kind of hover your phone over, then you can flip the next page, hover, you're good. It's just totally taken care of. It's like magic. So you got the touch-free scanning, it detects the pages, the edges of the pages automatically when the camera's focused and steady. Automatically crops for you. It does automatic color and what am I thinking? Exposure, all that stuff right away. So you don't have to mess with it. Just gives you good scans right away. So it automates the whole capturing process, combines with OCR, automatic upload to iCloud and Dropbox. So if you ever feel like you need to scan stuff, like receipts or pages of documents, whatever, this thing rocks, especially if every once in a while you need to read something that will make you sleepy and you want your phone to read it to you instead. It's totally awesome. So check it out. PDF Pen Scan Plus. It's in the App Store. And it's also, you can get it as part of the PDF Business Kit bundle with PDF Pen for iPad and iPhone. So check it out. PDF Pen Scan Plus from Smile. With that, the Apple Watch reviews, they're in. And I didn't really...
Yep.
So you got a nice video review from The Verge. Wall Street Journal did one. I thought it was interesting that the... So it was Nilay Patel from The Verge. His opinion was... And it seems like the combined opinions are, it's the best smartwatch, but you know, it's not for everybody.
Right.
Which sounds like every single product on the market. This might be a good product for you, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to defend it more than it needs to be defended, right? I don't want to get into fanboy status with this, but you know, I was talking to my brother yesterday saying, oh man, I can't wait for tomorrow. I'm going to pre-order my Apple Watch. And he's like, well, I don't understand why anybody wants it. I was talking to other people and I just don't get it. And I said, well, if you don't get it, then it's not for you. There are plenty of people who are out there who don't go through their day using their phone in a way where they're just, it's a bother to pull out their phone to figure out what's going on. And that's what the watch is supposed to help you with. Right. So, I mean, for me, as I've said before, I've been going throughout my day every day since I've decided to get this thing thinking, holy cow, it would have been nice to have it now when my phone buzzed or to figure out what time it is, or, you know, I'm like doing something, washing dishes or what have you. And I just got a chime. I want to see what's going on. That's what it's for. Now, the one thing that, the Verge review mentioned, was that, and I think a lot of them mentioned the notifications, it pushes all notifications to your wrist by default,
everything is on.
That seems,
which means you're going to spend a lot of time trimming that down.
Yes. So my recommendation would be, before you get your watch, start making a list of the notifications that you really truly want to see on your wrist. And I've been doing this. I've been working with this list of, like, I want messages, mail, calendar reminders, eBay, dark sky, if this and that, deliveries, bank activity, weather, and like one other thing, and that's it. And that's way shorter than the list that's currently on my phone.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to have all the notifications I get on my phone showing up on my wrist. And which actually I think is going to be helpful on another level, because I'll know based on what's vibrating what types of alerts I'm getting.
Yeah. So if you hear some kind of chime or hear a vibrate on your phone, but nothing happens on your wrist, you think, okay, it's
lower
nothing
priority.
Important. Yeah. Totally.
Well, so, and here's the thing, because you know I have the Pebble, right?
Uh huh.
The Pebble, you get every notification that goes to your phone. That's just how it works. And that's something that has annoyed me about the Pebble is there are all kinds of notifications that I really don't care about.
Yep.
So the Apple Watch is already going to have a one up there because you can actually can control separately the notifications that go to the watch versus the phone.
Right.
Yeah, and that's going to be done within the Apple Watch app. We've seen that in screenshots. So there's no point in, whatever you do, it seems like in your settings for notifications on your phone, I don't think that's going to be mirrored in any way on your Apple Watch. I think you're going to have to go through and separately figure that out. So.
Correct.
I think you're right.
Correct.
Yeah. And now one of the other things that these reviews mentioned that I didn't really fully get is that all the quote unquote apps that you're going to be able to put on your phone, on your watch, like the Evernote one or the Twitter one or Instagram or what have you, anything that's not a stock watch app, it's like a remote screen to the mm-hmm. app on your phone. It is not an app on your watch at all.
You didn't understand that you didn't get that?
No, I didn't.
That's been being talked about for months. I thought we talked about that on this show.
I probably didn't.
I'm sure we did.
It's
basically like an AirPlay screen for your phone.
Yeah, so there's a lag. There's an appreciable lag between pulling up the app and figuring it out. The other thing was that glances don't get updated in the background at this point. Mm-hmm. So if you go into the glance, then you have to wait for it to update.
Wait a second. Yeah, wait for it to get the data. And they said anything that as accessing GPS data
takes a long time.
Painfully long.
Yeah. So these are not things that really worry me because those are kind of secondary to
what I'm
getting it for, which is the notification situation
also this is a version one thing, and also Apple has already responded to that. You have to remember everybody who has a unit right now has a pre-production review unit.
Yep.
And Apple has said they will have software updates that will be pushed out on or around maybe before the 24th. So I'm assuming you're going to open up day one and there's already going to be a software update for it.
Right.
So they're supposedly going to address some of the speed issues. And another thing is, you know, this is what happens with a version one product. This is another reason why you might not be a candidate for this version of the Apple Watch.
Yeah,
it's like
definitely.
If you're not willing to be, there's going to be a little bit of public beta testing on any version one product like this. I mean, think about how the original iPhone was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So early adopter, you're going to have the early adopter tax, which is you're going to be dealing with bugs and little quirky things.
Yep. But as far as...
And here we are, rushing in where angels fear to tread.
Yeah. As far as battery life goes, though, it seems, for the most part, the reviewers were happy with the battery life.
It's living up to what they said, and if not even coming out a little bit better, which is...
Right.
That's another typical Apple thing, though. They tend to be one of the few companies that I think are more conservative on battery life. You usually at least get what they're advertising, if not a little bit better, unless there's some sort of weird software bug, which we've had, you know. But by and large, when Apple says you're going to get 10 hours of use or 20 hours of use or whatever it might be, the average user is going to get that. And again, average user. I'm not talking about the people that are going to be like sitting there looking at their watch, you know, day one, because you know that's going to happen too. You're going to have the people that are like, they're poking at it for 10 hours and then it dies because they haven't put it down for 10 hours.
Yeah, because they're looking at Instagram on their watch for some reason.
Or everything. You know, you're going to have that new shiny syndrome.
Yeah, I'm going to have some new shiny syndrome, that's for sure.
Right, so don't, I would caution people, like, if your battery's not lasting as long as you want on day one, think about how you're using it and be like, yeah, I was totally messing with it because it was cool and awesome and I wanted to play with it. Think about how much you're actually using it versus, you know, what you're going to, how you're going to actually use it when it's just a thing that you have that's another piece of technology.
Yeah. When are we getting real Apple Watch apps?
That's later this year.
Yeah, later this year.
An SDK hasn't even been released for it, right?
I'm assuming that'll be WWDC and then apps to follow after that.
Yeah, that's my guess. So it wouldn't surprise me to see apps rolling out in the fall when the new version of iOS comes out and the new iPhones come out.
Well, okay, but that begs the question, what the heck is the App Store button in the Watch app?
Well, it probably shows you iPhone apps right now that have Apple Watch compatibility.
Yep.
Yeah, you can download apps today that have Apple Watch compatibility, like Dark Sky.
Yeah, but then why don't they show up in the App Store now for the Apple Watch?
And maybe they won't. I mean, maybe that's only going to be reserved for full real native apps. Watch apps.
I would imagine that.
Yeah, that could would, be.
That makes more sense to me because you know
there's going to be a section on the App Store in time for the 24th that has Apple Watch compatible apps, even if it's not, even though they won't be Apple Watch native apps.
Those will be the apps that include glances and notification support and all that stuff.
Right.
But then I think, that App Store may remain empty, Michael, until native apps show up.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So what else? Oh, this was nice. David Pogue kind of figured out a nice little feature with the Apple Watch that is it can use known Wi-Fi networks for limited functions, even so, if your phone dies or it's on a different network, I guess there are a couple different things that are going to happen for you. So, like, if your phone is off or your watch can't reach it at all, your watch can still do certain things over Wi-Fi. So, I would imagine anything that doesn't involve a direct connection to the phone, so probably built-in apps, will work just fine. The actual standalone apps, the ones that require... Right.
So those would be Apple's, only Apple's apps at this point. Launch.
Right. Yep. So you'll be able to do texts, you'll be able to use Siri.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's cool. Another neat feature is that, so if you, for some reason, left your phone at home and you're at a friend's place and your watch has Wi-Fi, you can do anything you need over Wi-Fi. I would imagine it'd be slower, but they can communicate either via Bluetooth or with Wi-Fi. So as long as they're both on Wi-Fi, they can communicate.
Oh, you're
actually
saying
no.
Back
I think
to
I'm
the phone over the internet through
I'm looking
through Wi-Fi
this again.
Is that what you're saying?
Let me read this. So Pogue also mentions the watch's ability to communicate with an iPhone over Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, meaning the two devices can communicate indefinitely as long as they stay under the same Wi-Fi connection, even when they're out of Bluetooth range.
Okay. Oh, out of Bluetooth range.
Oh, so like around your house.
Okay, yes.
That's great.
Your iPhone can be sitting on the desk, and you can be downstairs in the kitchen doing something.
Cool.
And
that makes more
communication.
Sense.
That makes sense.
Yep. Nice.
And then limited functionality on Wi-Fi if your iPhone isn't available.
Yes, or not on the same Wi-Fi network or out of Bluetooth range.
Right.
Cool. And let's see. This is kind of cool. So iPhone repair website, iPhone Fixed, got a hold of a sapphire crystal Apple Watch display and put it through its paces. They scratched it with a coin and a key and a wall and abrasive paper, and then they decided to tap it with a hammer and drill it with a power drill, and it survived all of that stuff.
That's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
Without scratching, right?
Yep. That's, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It didn't shatter either.
It didn't shatter. Yeah, that's important.
I'm still sticking with the sport, though.
Yeah, it's making me rethink that, but I don't know. It's a version one product. I may go with the better one in a couple of years.
I would the only, if they would have allowed me to get the black one, the space black one, I would do stainless. But because of that, because of the tax on that one.
That's a pretty hefty tax on
that.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
I think that's what Skip is getting. Skip is getting the...
He's dropping a grand on a watch.
He is, but you
space
know,
black.
He's a baller. He's got a...
You know, and good
off.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
for,
that's
for
the one
me,
I really
the,
want.
If I were to get stainless, that's the one I would want.
The space black.
The space black. Yeah. But the aluminum makes so much more sense for me because I am I'm using this as a sport a fitness and health tracking tool. It's going to be outside with me and getting banged around.
Yeah, and here's my thing on it is that, you know, visually, I can't visually really see the difference between the aluminum and the stainless steel.
Well, one's shinier.
Yeah. Oh, is one matte and one's shiny?
Yeah. One's anodized finish and one is the more chrome, quote unquote, finish.
Okay, so the sport is more of a matte color. The standard Apple Watch.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to be shiny.
The shiny one.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and I don't like the shiny. I like the matte. So that just pushes
the matte
more
too.
Back to the to the.
I like shiny.
Do you? Oh yeah, you're right. No, I like if I'm gonna have to go with a silver finish, I want the aluminum finish, not the stainless.
So you can't get a space black stainless unless you go for the $1,100.
Yeah, and the aggregate price makes no sense to me at all.
No, because it doesn't make any sense.
Imagine you could get that. I mean, the watch itself is if we assume the actual unit, you know, that's the watch and the electronics and stuff like that, is a set as a fixed cost, then the only difference between that is the finish and the band.
Yeah, so maybe, six, let's call it like $600 for the 42 for the with the sport
with
band.
The finish, right? With
yeah.
Color. And then the band is another $250, right, for the link bracelet?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So you're at $850.
So what that tells me is that either Apple is really proud of the black... or there's a big piece of information we're missing about what's involved in making the black stainless steel
black.
Watch.
Yeah.
It might be way different because I think they must be anodizing it or something.
So you think it's just harder to manufacture? Well, that much harder to manufacture.
I mean it makes sense in some way because with the sport they're just anodized and you can anodize any color you want, right?
Right.
We've seen that over the years. Mm-hmm. But with the stainless, it's stainless steel. It's just polished stainless steel, but somehow they have
the
to make
black
it black.
Is really black, I'll tell you that. I mean, it's like Darth Vader black.
It is Darth Vader black. I think
which is pretty cool.
That's probably why you have to pay that much. And they have to Darth Vader out the link bracelet as well. Can you buy the Darth Vader link separately?
Oh, yeah. It's $250.
$250? Any price difference between the two?
You know, that's an interesting thing. I don't think there is. No, I think they're both, like if you want the silver one or the black one, the link bracelet's both $250.
I'm suspicious.
So there has to be something else.
But it's the finish looks different on the link bracelet though than it does on the. If you look at the image,
yeah, it's some
the
kind
watch
of
itself is really
kind of
polished, shiny, like lose yourself in it black. Whereas the link bracelet's more that just sort of standard stainless. It's a little grayer. It's not as deep.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous though. It's really pretty. I like it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not buying
I don't think you can get the. No, dude, the 42 millimeter link bracelet is $450.
Oh, it is. Well, how much is the silver one?
This is the silver one. You can't get the black one separately.
Oh, so the only way to get the black band in the link is to buy the Black Watch.
That makes sense now.
It makes more sense. I thought the Link bracelet was cheaper than that. That's expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive. So if you were to get the so it's 600 plus 450. So that makes
that's
perfect
exactly
sense.
That's exactly it. That's where it's at. Sorry.
Okay.
I totally misunderstood.
So the piece of information we were missing is that we didn't understand the pricing.
we couldn't read. Yeah. Okay. Now, there's one other story that just came in. So people in Australia, so the Apple stores there just opened at 9 a.m. local time. And so the Apple Watch displays are going up there. People are waiting in line to check out, possibly get a try on with the Apple Watch. As far as try on appointments go, I guess the try-on appointments in the United States will not begin until stores open in the morning on Friday. But based on the lines in the other countries, most likely be
well. So much for tomorrow. No lines.
No, there are going to be lines on a day when you can't even get the thing.
Yeah. So, okay. Does this tell you that Angela Ahrendts has kind of a disconnect with Apple's customer base?
She hasn't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you guys are making me look at the
stainless.
Yeah, with the
do
black
it.
Leather know, classic buckle.
You know you want it.
Buckle.
You know you want it. You can
it's my
do,
second choice. Like can, if I can't get that one, I probably will pay the tax and
you
get
can
that one.
Drill that screen and it won't be hurt. And it won't shatter. It's so cool. You have to get it. Okay, so unless you guys have anything else, I think we're gonna go to picks. Actually, there's a neat website that Apple launched. I guess they launched it. It's a new thing. So for Siri, so you can see all, they gave you a bunch of suggestions for things that you can do with Siri. And I think there are quite a few things in here that I did not realize that you could do. Like you can say, you know, smiley. You can, when you say smiley, when you're texting somebody to Siri, it will know that you want the little smiley in there. You can tell her to flip a coin for you. That's nice.
Pick a card.
Oh, there's pick a card? Where's that?
Yeah. Just say pick a card,
smiley
any card.
Pile of poo.
That doesn't work, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't. I just got smiling pile of poo as text.
Text Jeff, smiling pile of poo.
It won't work. I've tried it a million times.
You've tried it a million times?
Yes.
Well, it's P-O-O-H, like Pooh Bear.
I know, it capitalizes it. It's the formal poo.
The formal poo. Let me know if there's anything else you need. Yeah, I'll let you know. Yeah, so check that out. I think it's a good thing to just peruse and see what you're missing with Siri. So
I guess that says a lot about us, because the first thing I tried to do was send you a poop emoji.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. I wish there were more options for doing emoji, but it's just not there.
Yeah, Vulcan salute. I wonder what she'll do with that. Anyway, so I think it's time for our iDevice. Yeah, you sent it to me. That's funny.
It's funny, if you ask her what she's doing right now, she'll say she's waiting to order the Apple Watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you doing right now?
I was just chatting with the Apple Metallurgy team about the durability of Ice 9.
What the hell is Ice 9?
What are you doing right now?
Of what?
Just counting the minutes until Apple Watch comes out.
Ugh. See, there you go.
Are you on 8.3?
Yep.
Yep.
What are you doing right now?
What metal?
Okay.
What are you doing right now?
Just giving people advice on which Apple Watch band to get.
Okay.
She's all about the Apple Watch today.
Well, she said earlier, she says she was chatting with the Apple Metallurgy team about the durability of Ice 9.
Ice 9? Is that one of the metal things? That's probably from Johnny Ive's metal video, right?
Oh, probably.
Ice 9 is a fictional material appearing in Kurt Vonnegut's novel, Cat's Cradle.
That's why I recognized it.
Nice. Name.
Okay.
That's fun. Ice Nine is.
I'm now actually embarrassed because Kurt Vonnegut is my favorite author, and I didn't catch the reference. I just recognized the material.
She's with it.
Huh? It melts at 114 degrees Fahrenheit. Interesting.
She's so much cooler than I am.
Siri is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Time for picks. You want to go first, Jeff?
Sure. I'll go first. All right. So my pick is an app that I came across a few days ago called Highball. And it's a free app that gives you mixed drink recipes. You can make up your own and then share them.
Neat.
Yes. And there you go. That's it. Highball. The interface is fun. And yeah, there you go.
Wow. It's the nice classy one with the straight colors.
Yes. And you can check the library that they have and just add in whatever drinks you think are you need to have.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've been needing to know how to make an old fashioned.
Everyone should know how to make an old fashioned.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Yeah, there's that movie, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Looking app.
It is a nice looking app.
Yeah, it is.
Have the Boston Bartender's Guide. Not the app, the actual book.
Okay. Well, now you can carry that crap around with you. Make a Tom Collins when you need to.
There you go.
That's the book, or I believe is the book, the Boston Bartender's Guide. It's this little red leather-bound book.
Cool.
Drinks in it.
All right, and it's free.
And it's free. What I haven't figured out is how you remove a drink card. If you decide, oh yeah, I really don't need this.
Probably need to make it jiggle.
Oh, I haven't tried that.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Appler doesn't show that you own this app. Do you own this app?
Yeah, I have it.
You're a liar.
Oh, it's from Studio Neat.
Yes, it is.
Cool. That's the glyph, guys.
Glyph?
Yeah.
Yeah, Studio Neat, they have some other cool stuff.
The cosmonaut stylus and...
Oh, okay. And the clear ice cube maker.
Hmm. Neat. Yep. Okay, so Highball. Adam, what's your pick?
I am actually going to go, and this is surprising to me because I didn't think I was going to do this, but I'm going to go with HBO Now.
Wow.
Yeah, and the HBO Now service, which just launched this week. And I think the main reason I'm picking it is because they made the onboarding process of getting into it and getting subscribed and set up so incredibly easy. Plus, right now you get a 30-day free trial.
Cool.
So if you download the app, all you have to do is say, yes, I want to do my trial. It ties right into your Apple ID and sets you up. It tells you, hey, you get 30 days. And in 30 days after that, we're going to start charging your account $14.99 a month. So just be aware of that. You know, put an item on your calendar to make sure that if you don't want to keep the service that you cancel it. But then after that, it jumps you right into just a simple sign up. You still have to add a set up an account with a username and password, but it's just, you know, like put in your email address, the password that you want. I think it uses your email, what email you want, and then you're good to go. And then you can watch HBO content. So they have their current shows. They have back catalog stuff. So I just totally, because I had been totally wanting to see it, I totally binge watched Silicon Valley the first season, which is great. Pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen it yet. And they have that new Scientology documentary everybody's talking about, so I think I'm going to watch that next.
Oh, what's that called? I want to check that out.
Clear
something.
Yeah. I can pull up the app while we're talking. But it's actually a really nicely designed app, and it looks good. The video runs great, but really just because it's got a 30-day trial and... It's free, and the onboarding is so easy. If you want to just check it out, if you're curious, it's worth just firing it up and trying it out. And I don't know. I'm trying to decide if I will watch the first. I'm not sure I'm going to keep the service, so I'm not sure I will jump in on Game of Thrones when it launches, even though I really like Game of Thrones a lot, because I'll be really disappointed, and then I will have to pay the $15 a month because I'm not going to be able to stop watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so. Thankfully, I do not care about that show. Don't send me emails. I don't care. Just go away.
Going Clear is the documentary.
Going Clear. Ah, yes.
So that's on there, so I'm going to watch that.
I've seen that building. You don't want to get too close to that building. the big blue building in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So you can just quickly, you have 30 days to binge watch a ton of stuff on HBO.
Cool. Yeah, check it out. HBO Now. And my pick this week is Old School. It's Hippocrates. Because I recently needed that. We had a terrible couple days where
outbreak?
I came down with an insane pseudo migraine for like a week. And then my girlfriend suddenly, just as I was getting a little better, she suddenly got very ill with some kind of stomach flu, and we had to go to the hospital and get her hooked up to an IV and all that stuff because she was all dehydrated. And our medicine cabinet grew drastically within like 2 days because we were given all these different pills, some of them like narcotics and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we're like, you know, what can we take, this and that, combining things. And we had different doctor visits, and we were just, what the heck? You know, it's one of those things, taking pills. It's kind of scary because you got to make sure you're not mixing bad things together. You know, some of the stuff, it's like you can't have even caffeine with it because you know, who knows? So Hippocrates, I'm probably only using a very basic feature of Hippocrates, but it helps you figure out, it gives you interaction checks for medication, which is, you know, why I got it. So you add, you just add all the medications you're thinking about, and it will tell you what sort of interactions there are with other medications on this list. And if it doesn't interfere, then, you know, you're good.
You're good to go.
You're good to go. And it'll also give you side effects and those sorts of things. It also has the pill ID, which is really cool. That was one of the really neat features this thing has. You're like, you know, what? I forgot what these pills are.
Does it let it take you a photo of the pill?
It doesn't.
Because that would be kind of cool. What is this pill? And it's just use the camera, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those are the good ones. Those are the good ones. It lets you, you choose the shape and the color, and if there's a score on it, imprinting, and it tries to figure out what the pills are for you. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things in here, and I think that doctors probably, this is a medical quality app. And I think that if you pay for it, you get a lot more stuff as well in here. So it's really cool. Check it out. Hippocrates. It's a good thing to have in your back pocket when you need to figure out, you know, what kind of medicines you can take together.
Kicking it old school.
Kicking it old school. That was like the first app. Not the first app, but one of the very first apps that were out for the iPhone. And I remember it being so cool, and it still lives up to all that goodness. So with that, you can find the iPhone picks and show notes at theiosshow.com. Of course, check out our sponsors, Smile with PDF Pen Scan Plus, scan documents like James Bond. That's cool. And NatureBox, get your snack on. NatureBox.com/Tyos. Yeah, you can get Nom Noms. They have a whole line of snacks called Nom Noms, dude. And they're awesome. They're so good. So delicious. I like the peanut butter Nom Noms. Those are the ones we got, but they have all sorts of Nom Noms there. And it's free. So get on it. iPhone picks and show notes, theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Tell a friend. Send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. And advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at jgamet on Twitter, and he does the wonderful TMO Daily Observations podcast every day of the week.
Because I'm crazy like that.
You are. You're doing so many podcasts. You're writing articles. You're just doing stuff all the time.
I'm kind of busy. I need a clone.
That'd be cool. Would you? So if it's like, what's that movie I'm thinking about? Man, where they start cloning Multiplicity.
No, I was thinking more like The Watchmen.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking Multiplicity, where like, would your clone do the work for you, or would you?
No, I would have to divvy the work with my clone. Okay. You know, we'd have to decide who's working on what,
and then you'd get like a third clone, so those two clones can do the work, and then you can go like play golf or something.
I'll go party, but. Yeah. Yeah, but there's a handful of people that right now they're thinking, oh, I know exactly which scene from The Watchmen he's thinking of.
I don't. I have no idea.
There's lots of blue hands. That's all I'm going to say.
Huh.
Now you're going to have to go back and fast forward through Watchmen, and you're going to hit the scene. You'll be like, oh, geez.
Probably. Yeah, it's cool. Adam Christensen. He's at the MattCast, MattCast.com, and MattCast, he's at MattCast on Twitter. He's pretty much MattCast everywhere. He's MattCast on Appler, too.
Yep.
Yep, yep. Anything else?
No. That'll do it.
Okay. Cool. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and I'm on Appler. Check it out, GETAPPLR.com, and see the apps we all use. And with that... see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod, an iPod, an iPod, a phone, and an internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No.
Yuck, yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus?
Stylus.
You have to get them and put them away.